a coming realignment of the airwaves. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. The Federal Communications Commission just wrapped up an interesting auction. It was for airspace set to be transferred from local TV stations to wireless and cable providers. T-Mobile, Dish Network, and Comcast were among the winners, who spent a total of almost $20 billion for that spectrum, as it's called. $7 billion of that money will go towards reducing the U.S. deficit and the rest to stations losing that spectrum. Marketplace's Andy Euler is following this one for us. Andy, how did all this go down?
Yeah, Kimberly, the auction was announced a couple of years ago, and TV stations were told to decide whether they'd want to auction off spectrum licenses to the FCC. Now, about 175 broadcast stations agreed to it, and they were paid pretty handsomely in exchange. The reason these providers want this space is that the waves travel really far. And I think this is pretty cool. They can go through walls, which is something higher frequency waves have trouble doing. Now, T-Mobile alone ended up spending $8 billion, the most of any company. That means it'll have new spectrum in basically the entire U.S. market. Dish Network spent more than $6 billion, and the winners have up to 12 years to put these new airwaves to use.
Okay, so what does this mean for me? I mean, am I not going to be able to watch those Matlock reruns anymore?
Actually, it looks like only something like 12 stations are going to go off air entirely. Most will end up sharing a channel with another station, so you'll still get your sweet Matlock fix on. But it could mean bigger internet pipes, which means you're potentially going to be able to stream video on your phone and not have to worry about those annoying pauses so that it can buffer every few minutes and all of that. Now, interestingly enough, Verizon didn't bid at all for these airwaves, and AT&T spent less than $1 billion in the auction. Now, it's unclear right now what that'll mean for those on their networks, because the first stations to relocate aren't going to do so for another year and a half.
Marketplace's Andy Euler. Thanks, Andy.
No problem.
In Europe and the U.S., markets are closed for Good Friday, but the Labor Department did release its monthly numbers on consumer prices. They are down 0.3%, the biggest decline in more than 2 years. Our David Brancaccio is reporting from the road this week about jobs that machines cannot easily replace. That's good information to have, because one estimate says about half of the jobs we currently get paid to do in America could be done by software or hardware, and that's just using present technology. David also went looking for robots to find out how far their human qualities have progressed.
As part of my reporting on what automation is doing to and for the labor force, I originally wanted to find maybe a robot, a machine, even software to serve as a companion for my road trip. I had met Pepper, the 4-foot-high robot that reminds me of a precocious 9-year-old.
Let's go for a medium-bodied. The Pyramid India Pale Ale is a medium-bodied.
But I was struck by the stream of tempering comments I got from so many robot experts. Here is the creator of another cute robot named Kuri.
So we want to set expectations that Kuri is more like maybe a medium smart dog at best, and less like a person, like a kid.
One of the founders of a startup in Pittsburgh, Dave Rawlinson of Hebby Robotics, said of his own son, a toddler,
he's already better than the world's best robot. It's kind of amazing.
Or this guy in Michigan who works with industrial automation on an assembly line.
Robots are, people say, well, they're getting smarter every day, but actually they're pretty dumb. They do exactly what people tell them to do.
Okay, that's now, but it's possible we're at the verge of a quantum leap for technology getting into the work of humans. I'm not talking about the overhyped singularity. I'm talking about the car. This is a prototype Cadillac SRX that drives by itself. It's normal on the outside, no freaky electronic headdress or odd sticking out bits. Sure, inside there's an explodey-looking red button at the center marked emergency stop, and the infotainment screen switches to radar to spot other cars, pedestrians, stray wildlife.
Oh, there she is. Okay, look at that.
Carnegie Mellon University is said to be the birthplace of the autonomous car, and CMU electrical and computer engineering professor Raj Rajkumar is a serious guy. But he will at least entertain my notion that maybe the road trip companion I've been looking for is really the car itself. He thinks the metaphor might be humans in the back, electronic chauffeur up front.
They're getting some work done, taking a nap, doing something else while the chauffeur is driving, right? You can imagine the chauffeur actually think of driving Miss Daisy, if you will. They become a companion, a colleague, if you will, right? So you care about them, they care about you. And meanwhile, while they're driving, you get to do whatever you please to do, whatever you choose to do. So that's the future that actually will result when the vehicle is driving itself, except that chauffeur is not physical, it's virtual.
Here's why this robot SUV is especially important. There is a pile of capital flowing into driverless car development these days, a kind of gold rush. Think Uber's robot car project. Think microchip maker Intel spending $15 billion to buy a maker of robot car sensors. Plus, there's a safety argument. 40,000 people died on U.S. roads last year, most due to human error. The technology could, if improved, save a lot of lives. This revolution in driverless tech may be the catalyst, the vehicle, as it were, for propelling automation deeper into American workplaces. As for the machine companion I was looking for, the surrogate sidekick, I'm thinking the robots I auditioned this week are not quite ready. So on my road trip, I went with proven technology to keep me company, the car radio. I'm David Brancaccio for Marketplace.
David's got a pop-up podcast exploring all this. It's called Robot Proof Jobs. It's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed. And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.